Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint. Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Live from high above downtown Billings, Montana, to our audience worldwide, this is David Noble filling in for Aaron Flint here on Montana Talks, live on April 28th, statewide here. By the way, that is Noble with a K. You can find me online at LectureFan, LCTRFAN. I'm an attorney here in Billings, and I do online political commentary and live stream. I've been talking about the news out of the Montana legislature, including they passed a ban on styrofoam. So they're going to ban styrofoam here in Montana for eco-friendly reasons. So now your restaurants are going to have to use more expensive, eco-friendly, biodegradable stuff. You're going to be paying more for all of your food takeout orders here in Montana. They also passed a spending bill to study more public transportation to see if we, and that was a Democrat from Missoula bill. They passed a tax cut of worth about $260 million when they had over a $2 billion surplus. They passed Indigenous Peoples Day on Columbus Day. And that's just what's in the news, folks. I'm not, you know, that's just, I just looked at the news and that's the stories. And I've been talking here about how we're really struggling here in Montana financially. I mean, go visit the Walmart in Great Falls. Go visit the Walmart here in Billings. You're going to see a lot of people struggling with their day-to-day expenses. Lots of Montanans with credit card debt. We had a caller calling in last hour about how people are losing their homes in Gallatin County. They're getting taxed out of their homes. People are losing their homes. They're stressing out about credit card debt, and our legislature's up there doing that kind of stuff. Eric in Missoula sent us a message. Says there are seniors taking out reverse mortgages to cover their property tax and their homeowner insurance premiums. We have seniors in Montana, Montanans, who are having to take out reverse mortgages just to pay their property taxes. And instead of us getting real property tax relief, we're going to get a bunch of other stuff like bans on styrofoam. Let's go to Scott in Bozeman. Scott, thanks for calling.
Good morning, David. A little bit off topic today.
That's fine.
Speaking of news, I implore our listeners to pay more attention on a national level to Tim Walz. I'm partial to Minnesota because I was born there and I have many family and friends there. And I'm going to tell you, I think this guy's running in 2028. We dodged a bullet November 5th, but I don't know if we're going to do it again.
Oh, man.
He took that state a few years ago from a $17.6 billion tax surplus to their projecting in 2 to 3 years a $6.6 billion deficit.
Wow.
Think about that. Now put that guy in the White House. Look into the food fraud. He knew about it.
Yeah.
Allison, I'm telling you, this state, while California gets all the news and publicity, people need to pay attention to what's going on in Minnesota the last 4, 5, 6 years.
No, that's a great point.
Wake up as a country.
Yeah, hey, we're up against the break, but great point, great call, Scott. Thank you. I've heard from other friends from Minnesota that same thing about the food corruption and Tim Walz. That's a great point.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, here you go. Here's more proof. There was a caller to Montana Talks a week or 2 weeks ago that made the point to Aaron that all of this stuff about property tax cuts from these politicians in Montana is all just fraud and a lie and a shell game. Because unless you cut, and this is what the AFP Montana director Henry Kriegel said too, unless you cut spending, this is all just a shell game. Because you could cut taxes on homestead residences, but if you still need to raise the exact same amount of money, you're just going to increase taxes on everybody else. It's a total shell game. Or you do this. Missoula school officials encourage support for levies to avoid budget cuts. This is by Katie Fairbanks. As many voters received ballots recently, Missoula County Public School officials described the need for the levies. And this is what they said. We've already gone through in the last couple of years and cut out all the fat out of the budget. So we're into cutting muscle. Right now we're saying, please, let us at least keep what we have. And in March, the Missoula School Board voted to set an elementary levy of almost $400K, a high school levy of $165K, and a safety levy of over $1 million. And so you're looking at more property tax increases in Missoula just so that they can avoid budget cuts. I am so sick of hearing stuff like that. Let's go to Perry in Columbus. Perry, thanks for calling.
Good morning, David. You know, I'll say once again how much I admire your tenacity with this, the fire in your belly, because it's something that a couple hundred thousand of us need to develop in dealing with the current Montana legislature and the way that they're just, the inmates are in charge of the asylum. It's become very clear. We've got a similar tax increase on the ballot here in Stillwater County, and it's kind of like a test to see if they can push the really big one through, you know, the off-year election stuff. But that's not why I called. But I want to get to the legislature. You know, I got up at 8 o'clock this morning, and it's taken me until now to get my jaw off the floor with everything that you've been telling us about what's going on up there. What the H.E. double toothpicks is going on? The servants have become our masters. It's time for a pitchforks and torches march to the Capitol, and maybe put up a little mock gallows with 9 nooses in it. This is what happens when people just sit back. This is the end product of apathy from your voter base.
Perry, I didn't even mention the story about Republican, quote-unquote, Senator McCamey, who agreed for the Democrats to not have a bill heard that would prohibit foreigner funding of ballot initiatives in Montana. I'm thinking, wait, I thought the Democrats were always the ones that were in favor of campaign finance reform. Now you've got the Democrats saying, no, we want foreign money to pour into Montana to support these ballot initiatives. Of course, they know that all that foreign money always supports these far-left ballot initiatives, but you've got a Republican senator up there in Helena now cooperating with the Democrats to continue to allow foreign funding in Montana's ballot initiatives. I mean, and I didn't even mention that one, and I only mentioned the other 4 stories, and that was enough to put all of our jaws on the floor.
My God. You know, it seems to me there might be a couple million dollars in Soros money circulating around up there right now, and it's up to us to dig in our heels, raise our voices, march, you know. We have to do something about this. The whole state government is being co-opted by these people and facilitated by the craziness of the numbskull 9 and the Democrats. There are no compromises with Montana Democrats. They're the same as California and Massachusetts and everywhere else. They are the enemy, and we have to treat them as such.
I 100% agree. Well said, Perry. Is that all you got for us this time?
Well, yeah, I appreciate your fire in your belly. And for the love of God, Montana, you've got to wake up and smell the coffee before they've stripped you naked and put you in the poorhouse. I mean, really.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, appreciate the phone call, Perry. As always, thank you so much. Open phones now, 406-294-0970. I'm not trying to get everybody fired up here. I really am not. I just, these are the news stories. I got on my computer late last night. Well, late for me when you wake up at 4 a.m., but, you know, 8 or 9 o'clock at night, and I just checked the news. And the news is, oh, hey, Montana legislature banned styrofoam. They passed everybody's celebrating a big ban on styrofoam. Montana legislature passes a funding to do a study on more public transportation for air, bus, train, vehicle services. That was a Democrat senator, Andrea Olson out of Missoula. That was her thing. You know, our tax cut is about a I think a third or a quarter of what the governor had, had originally proposed, $260 million tax cut when they got $2.2 billion thing up there. And then you've got this other story about Senator McCamey agreeing to work with the Democrats to continue to allow foreign funding. I mean, it's just on and on and on and on and on and on and on. Here was another story. Montana 2024 lodging tax shows continued growth. This is posted online by Bowen Westson. The Montana Department of Commerce released full lodging tax numbers. This was actually just posted yesterday. Lodging tax revenue is collected. And remember, whatever happened to that bill? Weren't we wasn't this lodging tax money supposed to go to reduce property taxes? But this says, since 2019, lodging tax revenue in Montana continues to rise. The first quarter of 2023 saw almost $12 million just in one quarter on that issue. It's just on millions and millions of dollars in this lodging tax, but we can't get that to reduce our.
This is House Call for Health. Only a few days left in this month. Still time to talk about April being Foot Health Awareness Month, highlighting the importance of feet and how they impact our overall health and well-being. The Environmental Health and Safety Services, part of HHS, has a few tips. First, you should examine your feet daily. Look for any changes to appearance, texture, or color, especially those with diabetes or poor circulation. You should also practice good foot hygiene. Wash them every day and dry them, especially between your toes. That will help reduce the risk of infections like athlete's foot. Make sure you're wearing the right shoes with good support and a low heel. The shoes with narrow toes can cause issues like hammer toes or bunions. And lastly, don't be afraid to seek professional help. If you have constant discomfort or pain, head to a podiatrist for a checkup. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health, I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
It's time.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Open phones, 406-294-0970. If you want to be on the show, this is Montana Talks. Whatever you want to talk about, let's go to Don in Billings. Don, thanks for calling.
Yeah. Hey, you've been talking about the legislature all this morning regarding how they're not doing their job. I haven't heard much about the governor. Why isn't he on his soapbox up there telling the Senate and the House what he wants and what the people of the state of Montana want? I'm not hearing anything about him, but I hear Donald Trump sitting there wants a big, beautiful bill, and he wants it on his desk, and all the stuff is just the opposite of what's going on here. But where's our governor in all this?
Well, I think, Don, great question. I'd have a follow-up question. Why hasn't the governor criticized the Nasty Nine?
Absolutely. That's what I'm saying. Do we have a governor that's either, you know, somewhat of a rhino, or is he just a lame duck governor and he's checking off a box? He was a congressman, check off a box. I want to be governor, check off a box. You know, where is he? He's out cutting ribbons there in Belgrade last week for Amazon.
Meanwhile, we have elderly Montanans that are losing their homes because of property taxes.
I'm about ready to retire. I built my house when I was 23 years old. I'm still living in it. It cost me $35,000. I did the construction myself. I paid more in property taxes than what it cost me to build my home. And I don't own this. I'm leasing it from the government, you know, the county, the city, the state. If I don't pay my taxes, they move me out and move somebody in, pay the rent. Because that's all it is. It's a rent payment for the government.
Right.
And all these people all over the state that hardships that have to reverse mortgages on their homes, that's BS. My son just left Belgrade 2 years ago. He built a house for $270,000. And I'm wondering how he can afford to live there. Well, he couldn't, because he ended up selling the house for $900,000. Imagine what the property tax is on that.
Right. Jeez.
That's what I'm saying. Where's our governor? Why isn't he on his soapbox pounding his fist on the table? Why aren't you guys doing the will of the people of the state of Montana that you got voted in for? And that's
Don, if I was Don, I'll say this: if I was the governor, I'd be on my soapbox saying exactly what I've been saying for the last 3.5 hours on the radio.
Absolutely, and I totally agree with you. But this governor needs to be held to his feet to the fire. We voted for him. I voted for him, and it just makes me wonder what he's all about.
Yeah,
you know, great. Just checking off boxes.
Great call. Great question. Let me just throw in what I think might be either. Well, what one response might be is, you know, the governor's not getting super aggressive with the legislature because that can sometimes backfire. And I do, you know, the governor did propose larger income tax cuts than what we have here. And so there is truth to the fact that the governor's original tax cut proposals were more conservative and were bigger tax cuts and everything else than what the legislature passed. So I do think the governor's to the right of the legislature, and I do think he's got a point about it can sometimes backfire when he gets too involved. But on the other hand, I agree with the caller wholeheartedly that as citizens of Montana, as voters, you know, we should hold his feet to the fire. And I think it's fair for us to say, hey, we would like to see the governor get on his soapbox more. I mean, I think that's totally fair. Now, if he wants to come out and say, no, I'm not going to do that, and here's why, and here's how it'll backfire, and here's how I can get more conservative policies adopted, then that's something that I'd like to hear. But without hearing that, we're kind of all out here kind of just sort of wishing and hoping we had somebody up there pounding his fist saying, no more of this junk coming out of the legislature. Let's go to Seth in Kalispell. Seth, thanks for calling.
Yeah, actually, I think this is John.
Oh, John, go ahead.
Hey, I did want to say one thing about the styrofoam stuff. So what you actually have to look at is all the different 150 legislators up there with some of their pet bills, as well as the individuals that are supposed to take on the big bills, such as property tax or income tax relief. And you still want, whether you like styrofoam or not, it's irrelevant. I thought it was kind of a stupid bill. But the thing is that each legislator kind of gets from their constituents bills that they want to push out there. The problem is most citizens do not talk to their legislators and ask them to carry bills to resolve the problem. And there needs to be a heck of a lot more public participation with calling up those legislators during the election, after the election, in requesting them to carry some bills to clean up some of the problems.
Yeah, that's a good point. Like, so do you have anything specific in mind, or are you just saying, like, generally?
Well, in general, and I can tell you this, as a former legislator out of Belgrade, I didn't have a lot of people call me up and ask me to carry bills. I saw problems in government, and I carried those bills to try and resolve them. I still do it on a personal basis. But it is up to the populace to go up there in mass and understand what bills are going on, go up in mass and support those bills relative to government agents that continually go up there, and they get paid. We're paying government to lobby for their own bills or against the citizens' bills.
Right. Isn't that something?
And that's a process that needs to be changed. And if you want to solve, in my opinion, if you want to help resolve some of the property tax issues out there, one, it is the ability of local spending. And now you look at, on the radio, I just heard it on KJGR, that West Valley Fire Department or whatever is trying to put out a bond out there or a mill levy increase to increase their budget.
Hey, just like the city of Missoula. City of Missoula is doing more levies, too, to try to increase property taxes.
Absolutely. And really what needs to happen is that Senator Tudbed up in the Flathead screwed it all up when he went from a 6-year reappraisal issue or cycle to a 2-year reappraisal cycle. And that just means that every increase in a fluctuating market in real estate every 2 years is going to increase your property taxes. Your schools are going to continue to get more money no matter what. And then they're going to go out and lobby for some type of mill increase for X, Y, and Z, or threaten to cut off music or sports or whatever that hits the people the most and pulls at their heartstrings. And
yeah.
I think if they really want to resolve this, you have one election the same time every year in the spring and in the fall, and that's it.
Weren't they going to do that this session? They were going to put, I thought they were supposed to, this session, put the school board elections and these stupid mill levy elections on the main election day. What happened to that?
Well, that I have no clue, but obviously it is the Democrats and the certain Republicans on the left side of the right aisle that does not want to have them all come in at the same time.
That's a great point, though, and that you reminded me that that's an issue that me and Aaron and legislators and everybody else and obviously you, the callers and out there, we've all been saying that for years and years. And I remember going into this session, this was supposed to be one of our big goals. Let's get these elections on the same day so you don't have these super, super low turnout elections that nobody's heard about that they have at the school and all the school workers get there to vote because they're at their place of work and they pass the thing with 10%. Now all of our property taxes go up and we get socialists and everybody else on the school board. But I'm assuming the answer to why that didn't pass is exactly the answer to why all the other conservative policies haven't passed, which is the Democrats control the legislature. As crazy as that is, let's go to Chris in Columbia Falls. Chris, thanks for calling.
Sure. You know, as much as things change and stay the same, years ago, back in the 80s, there was a group here called Montana for Multiple Use. Now, this is only one agency in the federal government that shows you what's wrong with just about everything that goes on. Hang in with me for just a minute here. 1986, the Forest Service took in $1.3 billion from the timber sales and spent $2 billion, a deficit of $700 million. By 1990, when all this stuff started, their budget had grown to $3.6 billion, while their receipts had barely increased to $1.7. Now, these things we used to discuss at Montana for Multiple Use, and a lot of the agency politicians came to those meetings. The Forest Service now, this is an old recording, on the yearly deficit of almost $1 billion, a trend that leads to physical oblivion. Now, that's what's wrong with just about everything. These people don't have complacency. They're so complacent, they cannot hold their nose to the grindstone. And this is happening with every, right down to your own level, you know, how much I spent for my property, I spent for my property tax, how much I spent for just so many things that is just causing this country to go into oblivion. You've got somebody who is attempting to try to do something, and yet you've got locals here just won't let go of the purse string. They just won't let go of the purse string.
Right. No, that's a great point, Chris, and you're right. That's just one example of many. Really appreciate the phone call. Looks like we've got Esther in Bozeman. We've got Jeff in Joliet. We're going to come to you guys. It looks like we may have a quick break here coming up just momentarily, and then we got open phones. We got two open phone lines. We got Esther and Jeff, and then we got two open phone lines, 406-294-0970. I've got some information, more detail about the MSU students, foreign students, international students, who apparently had some of their status revoked. More information on that. Open phones, David Noble, in for Aaron Flint, Montana Talks, live to our audience worldwide.
This is where Montana Talks at with Lane Nordland.
The U.S. industrial hemp production rose in 2024 with total crop value reaching $445 million. That's a 40% increase over the previous year, according to the latest National Hemp Report. Planted acreage expanded to nearly 45,300 acres, up 64% from 2023, while harvested acreage climbed 60% to just under 32,700 acres. Now, this growth reflects both increased planting and higher yield, which rose from 669 declined to 1,757 pounds per acre. Floral hemp led the surge, with production more than doubling, a 159% jump year over year. It also accounted for 87% of the total value of hemp growing in the open market. Seed hemp also posted notable gains. Its value rose nearly 500% to just under $17 million, the largest percentage increase among hemp categories. The report signals renewed momentum in the hemp sector following several years of market fluctuation after its legalization under the 2018 Farm Bill. Closer to home, in 2024, Montana experienced a decline in hemp cultivation. The state planted approximately 2,900 acres, a 17.1% decrease from the previous year. However, the harvested area increased to about 2,450 acres, marking a 66.7% rise compared to 2023. I'm Lane Northline.
Montana Talks, where you get the mic. Call in now at 406-294-0970. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
It's your favorite host, David Noble. We're going to go straight to the phone since this is Montana Talks. We're going to go to Esther in Bozeman. Esther, thanks for calling.
Hello.
Hi.
Yeah, I just wanted to comment on the whole process of getting good candidates to be in our legislature. I'm a precinct person for the Gallatin Valley Republican Central Committee, and we are in desperate need of more people to step up to be precinct men. The precinct men are really a good inroad into the community to help us identify good candidates to run for office and to help us recruit good candidates. If we don't have good candidates to put in the primary, you're not going to get good candidates to put in the legislature. We have tons of work in that central committee that people could do, even if you think you have limited abilities. We've got voting lists that people need to look through and find the discrepancies in. We have just all kinds of things like folding T-shirts at our booths during the summer, and just all kinds of jobs that we desperately need people to volunteer for. So our Republican Party has gotten its house in order. It's on the way, for the Gallatin Valley anyway. We've got a good, strong conservative committee, and we just need workers to come and help us. They meet at every third Tuesday, I believe it is, at J.C. Billion, and even if you're not part of the precinct committeemen, visitors are welcome. Just come see what the process is and see how you can help.
Esther, I'm also a fully elected precinct captain here for the Yellowstone County Republican Party, and I did file for election, and I looked up the Montana codes on precinct. But you're right, Esther, very, very important for Montanans to get involved at the precinct level in the Republican Party, because not only can they do all the things what you just said, but they can also help out by vetting candidates who claim to be these Republicans. That would be also something that could be potentially pretty helpful. Let's go to Jeff in Joliet. Jeff, thanks for calling.
You bet, David. I just wanted to say that I really enjoy listening to you when you fill in for Aaron.
Thank you.
I like Aaron, too, but you bring a new spin on everything, and it's good.
Thank you.
So I got an official ballot in the mail the other day. Joliet School District wants a permanent levy of $50,000 a year for the high school and $50,000 a year for the elementary. The high school is already carrying a surplus of $100,000, and I learned that from an article written in the Carbon County News by Tara Steen. Very open information, not one-sided or the other. But I'm just calling to encourage fellow voters here in the Joliet area to vote no on both of these, the high school and the elementary. It says in that one article that they're trying to implement a technical field. My friend works at high school. He was brought in this year. He replied. He's a lifetime computer tech whiz in security. Travels the world worked for big corporations and stuff previous to going to work for the Joliet school district. He heard they needed some help, so he jumped in there. And they were short on computers. Superintendent Clark does not want the kids to learn anything about AI. I donated several computers. Some of the equipment was brand new. The boxes hadn't even been opened. But their tech fella that works there, he didn't want to mess with it. I got all the stuff back.
Wow.
And then they're talking, they want money for new equipment, this and that, or upgrades, or for a whole new teaching position. But, you know, I went up there to the school a couple months ago. They had a banner flying up there about how they welcome diversity, education, or was that DEI?
Are you kidding me? In Joliet?
No. Joliet, yeah. And Joliet has been losing high school students.
Well, I'd pull my kid out of there, too.
Yeah. Well, they've been pulled out and are going to the Yellowstone Christian Academy now.
Oh, that's good.
Or they're just learning online at home. So, you know, my family's been around here since the early 1900s. My grandmother donated the property for the high school football team, for their field. You know, and my grandmother was a teacher there. My great aunt was a teacher there. And, you know, it's just disheartening to see this woke BS moved into our school district. And, you know, they've already got extra money. They just need to use and live within their budget and embrace what's changing in the technical world. Because if they kick the kids out, they, you know, just graduate them, there's no, you know, President Bush's No Child Left Behind type deal. And they get out into the real world and they don't have any computer skills. They can't write.
Yeah,
they're terrible at math.
Could you imagine actually going to the people of Carbon County and asking them for more tax revenue when there are elderly Montanans that are losing their homes because of these increased taxes? All of us are out there going into credit card debt. We're stressed out every day living under financial insecurity because of the Biden inflation and the high cost of everything. And yet these government and school officials have the audacity to ask us for more money. Unbelievable. Let's go to Linda in Churchill. Linda, thanks for calling.
Yes, good morning, and I do appreciate your program so much. You're so informative.
Thank you.
I do have a question. I need explanation of the benefits to the American people of the 1947 Bar UN Treaty. If you can answer that or tell the people about the benefits of that, I would like to hear.
Well, my personal opinion is in 2025, there are not a lot of benefits to the U.S. For being part of the U.N., and I'm in favor of getting rid of the U.N. and pulling out. Main reason being is it's an illegitimate organization because it gives Russia and China veto power, and that's on the Security Council. Any organization that would give Russia and China, which are illegitimate governments, veto power is obviously an illegitimate organization of itself. Now, that's the Security Council. The General Assembly itself in the UN is made up of every country on Earth, which is mostly illegitimate governments, dictators, etc. I think post-World War II, it was beneficial because you had all of the major powers, a place to talk, and basically a place to do diplomacy, which really isn't that much of a benefit when you really think about it. Let's try to hit as many phone calls as we can here. I think we've got Ron on line 4. Ron, is that you?
You bet.
You're on, Ron. Thanks for calling.
Okay, I wanted to address the number of bills that get introduced into the legislature on an annual or semi-annual basis. It seems to me that there should be some kind of a limitation as to the number of bills each representative can introduce. And I recall very vividly back in the 80s or 90s, there was some gal over in eastern Montana that wanted to change the state bird to something else. Maybe a spotted left-wing polka dot predator-type bird or something, I don't know. But in any event, these guys got too many things to deal with that are unimportant.
I agree. Things like banning styrofoam.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Well, great call. That's an interesting idea. I haven't heard that one in terms of, like, let's put an actual hard dollar limit or a hard number limit on the number of bills that these people can put in. Maybe then they could spend their time working on things that actually matter to us instead of trying to increase the cost that we all have to pay when we get takeout food or when you go to any restaurant. Right, because most restaurants, even if they're not like a takeout restaurant, they're going to have styrofoam. Well, now they're going to have to spend a lot more money to get all this eco-friendly, biodegradable stuff instead of styrofoam. So guess what, folks? The Montana legislature just passed more regulations that's going to cause the price of food to go up even higher. They apparently don't care if you're living there stressed out under credit card debt, paying for groceries on your credit card, stressed out every single day. They don't care if you're about to lose your house due to property tax increases. Nope, they're just going to blow out the spending in hell and blow out the regulations, ban styrofoam, spend a bunch of money, you know, studying more public transportation, on and on and on. I mean, I really can't believe it. You know, there is some positive things. They got a tax cut. It's just, it'd be nice if the tax cut was bigger. Now, call me a negative, Nancy. We can be positive. Hey, we got a tax cut. Just wish it was bigger.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
It's David Noble in for Aaron Flint. We're going straight to the phones. We've got Susan in Missoula. Susan, thanks for calling.
Hey, thanks for tweeting in. I am just totally fed up with legislative session this time, and it doesn't look like any property tax relief is coming. And I would like to ask you, is that true? Is my impression correct?
So I want to give credit to Senator Zolnikov out of Billings. He does have a property tax relief bill that passed. But it's really, as far as I could tell, not something that I would call significant or substantial. But there is a property tax relief bill that's been passed, and it has something to do with basically when cities have new developments and they charge these developers all these fees and things like that. Apparently, that money now has to be used to reduce property taxes. So there are some still property tax bills that are up there, and I don't know what's still alive or what's not. Apparently, this is kind of do or die at the legislature here this week, so I don't know what is going to get across the finish line or not. But there has been one. I'm trying to find. I thought I had it in a story here, and I meant to mention it. I do know it is Senator Zolnikov's bill out of Billings, and there is something there. I just don't know how much it is, and it's like, okay, well, that's pretty minor as far as I can tell in terms of, okay, some new developer fees have to be used to offset, you know, property taxes. I'd like to see something much more significant, something much more substantial than that. But to answer your question, Susan, yeah, there has been that one bill, and there may be some more coming. And again, sometimes I kind of come on here and I kind of wonder, like, am I being too hard on these Republicans? Am I being too hard on the legislature? I don't want to be just a naysayer and just a critic, and, you know, I'm standing here on the sidelines. But it's like, you know, all I'm doing, folks, all I'm doing is just reading the news headlines and kind of giving my thoughts on it. And you're here to give your thoughts as well. Let's go to Terry in Laurel. Terry, thanks for calling.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. We also have 4 ballot initiatives for property tax increases for the Laurel School District on the ballot this year.
Wow.
So, you know, I cast my ballot, and You know, as everybody knows, this whole area is growing in leaps and bounds, and yet they want more money and more money. It's just crazy. I just want to comment about Governor Gianforte and what's going on in Helena. I have several close Republican friends that are in the latest legislature and state senate, and they are just livid at what Gianforte's doing. And they've called him to me a pro-life Democrat. And he is right in the thick of this spending spree. And I saw this 2 years ago when we had a huge budget surplus. And as taxpayers, we got a refund of about 25% of what the surplus was. And then the governor ran around high-fiving everybody. But the bottom line is they spent the other three-quarters of the surplus, and that's what they're doing right now. They're spending it, and when I saw this income tax bill that came out, it's a joke. I mean, there's very little relief in that bill.
Is that the one that I'm talking about that's just like $267 million a year income tax cut?
Yeah, it's like $150 a year for a taxpayer. It's just some ridiculous amount. It's crazy.
No, I mean, and then to have the media call that a major income tax cut. That's what the mainstream media, Eric Dietrich, Montana Free Press headline, major income tax. It's like, no, that's not major.
Yeah, and the other thing, you had a Minnesota a person that was from Minnesota. Well, I'm from Minnesota, and I've lived in Montana for 15 years, and I've got a brother that's trying to retire there, and he's finally come to the conclusion he has to move out of Minnesota because he can't afford to retire there. And one of the things that Minnesota does, surprisingly, as spendy as they are, they don't tax Social Security benefits, but Montana does, and Montana is one of the last 9 or 10 states that do it.
That was another. That's another issue that was – man, people, all you callers, you guys keep bringing up these great issues, and you're reminding me of 3 months ago before the legislative session, all of these things were supposed to be addressed, including that one right there.
Absolutely. You haven't heard a word about it, and when you're hearing crickets, guess what? It's not going to happen.
Oh, if the legislature was actually cutting state taxes on Social Security, oh, that'd be all we hear about. We'd have every legislator, we'd have everybody calling into the show and saying, hey, we cut state income taxes and state taxes on your Social Security. Wow. You callers out there, keep reminding me of all these different problems and issues we've had in Montana for a long time, whether it's that one, whether it's when our mill levy votes happen versus being on the regular. All of these different issues that were supposed to be addressed. And now here we are, a couple of days left in the session. Apparently this is the last week, and none of that stuff has been accomplished. None. You know, the other thing you mentioned, Jerry, at a Laurel, was how this same thing happened last legislative session. Funny you would mention that, because I posted on X about how, look, I don't want to come on the radio show and criticize Republicans, but when the news is the news, and my analysis of the news is, hey, the Republicans passed this and I don't like it, well, I'm just going to be honest, folks, I'm going to be honest. But John Jackson posted on Twitter about how this is similar to the last legislative session, and folks aren't happy about it. I'm certainly happy that you listened and called in. Thank you all so much. We'll see you Thursday. Aaron Flint, back tomorrow, live. Montana Talks.